can use that. You can run him out of your house. I said you can run him out of your house. Get behind it. Don't run from the devil. Get behind him and say, come here, devil.
Run him.
And the text says, and the devil left him. And he will leave you if you study and find out what's written. Don't try to argue with him. Find out what's written. There is no situation that you can get into that the word is not there.
God Almighty.
Word is not there.
Yes, sir.
I don't care. And I hope it don't get nothing. I don't care how many marched in Washington yesterday. It is written that man shall not lie with another man. It's written. Wait a minute, let me get the other side. And woman shall not lie with woman. It is written. With every head bowed and every eye closed. And every believer pray. Every believer pray. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm saved because it is written. I don't need no miracle. I don't need to see nothing funny. It is written that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've called on his name, if you said, save me, Lord, you're saved. If the Lord says, you're saved,
Lord, have mercy.
You are saved. With every head bowed and with every believer praying, I want to see the hands of all of the persons in the balcony, that you're not a faithful member of this church, and really, you really don't have a church where you are a faithful member. Would you just raise your hand? I must pray with you. Would you just raise your hand? If there's one, are you raising your hand? I raise it a little bit higher. Don't be ashamed. You're not at that kind of a church. Where's one? Where's another in that balcony? Where is one in the balcony up there? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Where's one to my left? Where's one to my left that if you must tell the truth, you don't belong to this church? And in fact, you really don't belong to nobody's church.
Lord have mercy.
Now, where is on the main floor? Where is one? Where is one on the main floor? One in the... Praise the name of the Lord. 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 Now I want to tell you something. One of the greatest things that you can ever do is to be able to say, Satan, I'm saved. And Satan will say, how you know you're saved? It is written that he that believeth,
yes, sir,
and is baptized shall be saved. Well, but she don't act like she that, but it's written. You see, when I get ready to buy a car, it doesn't matter how I act, as long as I put my signature down. And those who raised your hand, I want to have a word of prayer. If being in church is right, then being out is wrong.
That's right. That's right.
I think I saw about 5 hands, and I believe there are 8 here. I believe there are 3 others who didn't lift your hand. Our organist is going to play softly, Come to Jesus. And I want you to come down. We have counselors. And we'll be able to counsel with you and to pray with you. And if it's not to this church, if it's a Bible-believing church, we will not send nobody to no church that doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pray.
I want you to come down. I saw you. I want you to come here. I saw your hand over here to my right. I want you to come here. I want you to come stand right here. I want you to come stand right here, sir. I want you to come. Come right here. Come right here. I want you upstairs to come right here. Was there another back there? Was there another back there? Where was the other? There was one over here somewhere. Who raised your hand? Raise your hand again. Raise your hand again. All those who raised your hand, lifted your hand. Be obedient. Be obedient. Everybody who lifted your hand, God has a word for you. God has a blessing for you. Here tonight, I want everybody to pray. I want everybody to pray as you've never prayed before. Here comes one. Here comes another. Here comes one from upstairs. Pray, 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 pray. Come on in here. Come on in. Praise the Lord. Come on in, little one. Don't let anybody walk unless it's just an emergency. There are at least 2 more other people that if you would tell the truth, you would say, preacher, I need to be here. Yeah, that comes one. There's one other person. Say 2, 4, 6, 7. The Lord's Spirit says to me there are 8 of you here, and I see 7. I see 7. Where is the other one in the balcony on the main floor? You're not a member of this church. You're not a member of no church. Spirit of the Lord tells me you're here. Spirit of the Lord tells me you're here. Don't let me have to linger long. Here you are right here. Praise God. Here you are. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. Counselors are going to talk with you. Listen to them. Believe in them. I'm not trying to get you to hook. I'm not trying to get you to go on dope. I'm not trying to get you to get drunk. I'm trying to get you to be able to say, it is written. My soul, my spirit, it is written. Now let me pray with you right now. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, your arms, Lord, your arms, Lord. Let them feel your spiritual arms undergirding them, saying, yes, Lord, you're doing the right thing. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And thank God. Go right with them. Yes, Lord. Sing that song, Yes, Lord. Isn't that from the bottom of my heart? Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, completely. My soul, yeah, why don't you say it? Yes, Lord. I don't want anybody to move, please. From the bottom to the depths of my soul. Soul. Why don't you just tell him, I love you.
I love you.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
From the bottom to the depths of my soul. We have been challenged
by the unbelieving world that our faith is somewhat short on blessing people right now. I went to a lady's sick bed once to pray, and evidently it had been a custom that people who came to pray with her left her some money. And I went there and prayed for her, and I walked out without leaving any money. And before I could get to my office, she had it all over town. He came and just prayed. Didn't leave me a dime. Said he came and just prayed. Some people measure all good things.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
To call your attention to the book of Habakkuk, and a few months ago, I preached from this same passage, but today I want to come from a whole different direction. Habakkuk, amen, chapter 3, and I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. So if you will just kind of silently read it to yourselves. I know most of you have the King James Version, and I know that the King James Version will be on the screen, but I will read it to you from, let's do it this way. I'll read the King James Version, and then I'll read the New Living Translation. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3, y'all found it yet? All right, let's read verses 17, 18, and 19. And there you will find these words. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The New Living Translation says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And for a few moments this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, trade your doubt for a shout. Amen. Trade your doubt for a shout. Thank you, ushers. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. So said the writer Charles Dickens. And I quoted those lines because they echo the sentiments of the present period we now face in our world. It is the best of times, yet it is also the worst of times. On one hand, there are obstacles. On the other hand, there are opportunities. Some see the end while others see the beginning. Some see gloom and others see God. I think we can all agree that the times in which we live are troublesome times. These are worrisome times. Do I have a witness today? I want to ask you today, have you ever been worried about something or someone at some time? I think I know the answer. I think I know that all of us are guilty of being worried about something or someone at some time. And y'all, there are times when there is a basis for worry. Do I have a witness? There are times when our worry is predicated upon the foundation. Sometimes we are right to be a little nervous. Worry is a universal phenomenon, yet interestingly enough, psychologists say that 90% of what we worry about never happens. One writer said that worry is interest you pay on trouble that never comes. Well, as we tune in to the telecast of the text, the prophet Habakkuk was worried and perplexed by the menacing circumstances that he faced. You see, he lived in a time of moral bankruptcy. He lived in a time of spiritual amnesia. He lived in a time of ethical erosion. It was a time of spiritual darkness because the people of God turned their backs on God and walked away from God. It was an hour of national distress, and the prophet had to wearily watch as the cultural, spiritual, economic, and social fabric of his culture was ripped and torn to shreds. The implacable Chaldeans had invaded and overthrown the northern 10 tribes, and it was only a matter of time before Habakkuk and his people in the southern 2 tribes would also be overthrown and overcome. And so after one considers the inconsolable conditions of the hour, we can understand why he was worried. And beyond what was going on around him, my brothers and sisters, he was equally distressed about what was happening within him. For within his own heart and in his own mind, he was wrestling with the actions, activity, and intentions of Almighty God. And there's somebody up in this place today who can identify with Habakkuk. Because for someone here, what has you worried is not just what is happening around you, but really the doubts and questions and fears that have arisen within you. But by the time we get to chapter 3 of this prophetic utterance, we find that the prophet Habakkuk is engaged in worship, y'all, rather than worry. So between the sunset of chapter 1 and the sunrise of chapter 3, the prophet has learned how to rejoice in the face of ruin. He has learned how to praise in the midst of problems. He has learned how to celebrate in spite of circumstances. And I'm preaching to somebody in addition to myself who needs to learn this lesson. Somebody needs to learn how to rejoice in the midst of your ruin. Do I have a witness today? Somebody needs to learn how to praise in the midst of problems. lives. Somebody's going to leave here today having learned how to celebrate in the midst of calamity. Someone needs the truth of this text, because everyone can rejoice when everything is working. But we've got to learn, we've got to be taught how to rejoice when stuff is going bad. We've got to learn how to rejoice when our finances are funny, our family is fractured, our friends are fickle, our future is fuzzy. We've got to learn how to rejoice when our adversaries are aggressively antagonistic, when our money is funny and our change is strange. We need to know how to rejoice in the midst of ruin. We need to know how to trade our misery for music. Oh, help me, somebody. We need to learn how to trade our pain for power. We need to learn how to trade a burden for a blessing and our doubts for a shout. Is there anybody in here today who would rather worship than worry? Is there anybody in here who would rather rejoice than to weep? Well, here in chapter 3, we find Habakkuk wrestling within himself with the actions and activities of God. Look at this, y'all. He's bothered by what's going on and by what God appeared to not be doing. God's actions or inactions, as Habakkuk saw it, bothered him and tested his faith. Three things he thought, amen, as he looked at God and how he was dealing with his situation. Number one, he felt that God was indifferent. Tell your neighbor, he felt that God was indifferent. Have you ever landed in a spot where you felt like God just didn't care? Now, I know you can't say it out loud, amen, but sometimes I know I got a witness. You can't say it out loud, but probably in your mind, amen, you probably thought about, does God really care? And if you haven't been there, just keep on living. Because life can drop you in some spots where you wonder, does God really care about what I'm going through? And that's where the prophet is in chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. He says to God, God, how long? How long must I cry for help and you don't listen? Now, in verse 2 of chapter 1, I want you to make note of the fact that the prophet uses the word cry twice. The first time, it is a plea for help. But the second time, y'all, he's literally screaming at God, saying, God, how long do I have to cry for help and you don't listen? God, how long do I have to cry before you step in and do something about my situation? He prays as we sometimes do. Anyone ever prayed till you didn't know what else to say? Come on, anybody ever? You've been in prayer so long you cried until your tear ducts were dry? Because it seemed like God wasn't interested in your struggle. It seemed like God wasn't concerned about your agony. The Lord's disciples, you Bible readers will remember, they got there. You remember when the original 12 were there, they were out on the sea, and that terrible tornado tore through, and they thought they were about to perish. Don't you hear them saying, Lord, don't you care? I bet if I gave you the microphone this morning and you told the truth, you could testify, yes, I've already been through some stormy situations, but thank God I'm still here. Do I have a witness? Amen. Are there any survivors in the house? Tap somebody and tell them, I am a survivor. Come on, tell them, I've been shipwrecked, but I survived. I've had to face and fight some stuff, but I survived. I've had some long nights, but I survived. I've struggled through some tough stuff, but I survived. As a matter of fact, you're here today because God cares about you. You're still here because God is still looking out for you. So no matter what you have to go through, I come by to tell you, don't get caught up in how it looks. You are important to God. Come on, you are valuable to God. You are significant to God. Is there anybody in here who knows that no matter how rough it gets, that you know that you know that you know that God still loves you? Come on, give him praise in this place. Habakkuk's faith was challenged because he felt God was indifferent. But not only did he feel like God was indifferent, he also felt like God was inactive. Let the church say inactive. See, that's verse 3 of chapter 1. He asked the question, why do you force me to look at evil, to stare trouble in the face? Anarchy and violence break out. There are quarrels and fights all over the place. Notice that he's no longer asking God how long. He's now asking God why. Because he feels that God is inactive. Have you ever looked at your circumstances? Have you ever looked at what you had to face? Have you ever looked at your bills and your critics and your haters and your difficulties and your tragedies and your mishaps, your mistakes, your failures and challenges, and found yourself asking God why? Most of us have felt at times that God was inactive, that God wasn't doing anything about our problems or our needs, our struggles, our enemies, or shortfalls, and we cry out, but he seems indifferent. And sometimes, y'all, God seems inactive. But he sent me here to tell you that not only does he care, but he's also working. He sent me by to tell you, don't get caught up in how it looks. He told me to tell you that, amen, yes, he does care, but he's also active. Watch this, even when we can't see it. Do I need to help you? Can I give you a reference? Psalms 121 and 4 says that he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. In other words, we can sleep because God's going to be up. He never takes a day off. He never sleeps. He's always busy being God, so we don't have to sweat it or fret it. We can go ahead and forget it, because while we're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. I wish I had somebody who knows that in spite of how it looks, God is working on your behalf. Stuff I used to worry about, I put it in God's hands. Stuff that used to have me pacing the floor, amen, people who fought against me and lied on me and talked about me, I used to let it cause me some sleepless nights. But when I found out that he never sleeps, he never slumbers. Come on, where are my folk who understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, baby, put them in the Lord's hand. I said, put them in the Lord's hands. And is there anybody here who knows that God can handle your enemies better than you can ever handle them? I'm telling you, he's working, he's working, he's working. He's working, he's working. I was in the mall the other day. And there was an entire area that was sectioned off behind this huge piece of plastic. The sign on the plastic said, "Pardon our dust. We're building you a better shopping experience." Now, y'all, I couldn't see what they were doing, but I knew that there was work going on, because I could hear it. I could hear it. Amen. I could hear them, but I couldn't see them. My view was obstructed by the plastic, not because they weren't working and not because they wanted to hide what they were doing, but it simply wasn't time for what they were doing to be revealed. Come on, preach up in here. And I knew that even though I couldn't see what they were doing, I knew they were working. And that's the way it is with God. He's at work. Even when we can't see him, he's at work. Even when we can't detect him. Oh, somebody feeling it right now in your spirit. Amen. You hadn't thought about it, but you feel it in your spirit right now that God is working on your behalf. Your tomorrow is going to be better. Your future is going to be brighter. Your haters are going to have to sit down because God is working. I tell you, he's working. He's working on you, and he's working on your situation. And even when you think he's inactive, he's still at work. Every time God allows you to step up in Pleasant Hill, he's allowing you to hear what he's doing.